Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the program. It's Felger Maserati on Tuesday, December 17th.
Yep, right.
I guess I don't have the date in front of me.
Yep, 17th.
Coming to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios at the beautiful Beasley Media Group in Dorchester. It's Tuesday during the football season, which means we would be joined by Greg Bedard, and we were supposed to be joined by Greg Bedard, but as usual, he's not here. He's really not here. No, he's not here. He's not here. So it throws off the whole rhythm of the show. You can already tell I'm annoyed.
He's like a cable guy. You give him the window and he'll show up sometime between 2
That's
and 4.
That's a good point. 2 and 2:30, him and Gasper.
Because the show start time has changed so many times over the years.
He arrives between 1 and 3.
Okay. But it throws off the whole rhythm because the whole show is set up for me to come in, Jimmy turns the mic on, and I say, "What do you think, big boy?" And then I and while he's doing that,
film tells me
and in the meantime I wipe down and I can get all set and like get everything squared away while he prattles on and hems and haws about his take. So when he's not here, it throws the whole thing out of rhythm. So that's, but anyway, two things to start with: Brady, and then I have a developing Spygate 2 opinion. Let's start with Brady. Maz actually just gave me a developing Brady opinion in the break as we were coming on here. I think we should lead with this. What's your developing Tom Brady take, Maz?
Okay, so this has been simmering for a while, and I just think that under normal circumstances, given where the Patriots are, and I admit that this was triggered by something we talked about yesterday, where I said to you, the Patriots as a team, ranked 28th in the NFL in completion percentage. 28th. Like, that is a preposterous number for a team that has Tom Brady at quarterback. 28th in the league, 60.2%. And remember, they've had some trick plays in there. You know, Edelman threw a touchdown, for crying out loud. So overall, the point is, you made the point yesterday, their passing game blows. And I'm not telling you I'm advocating for this. I'm just saying, if this were any other situation and this team were struggling during the middle of the year to generate offense, you know what we'd do? We'd talk about changing the quarterback, because you have an older guy quarterback and you have a younger guy you just drafted. And I'm not advocating for it. I just want to make that part clear, because I see that poop-eating grin coming across your face over there.
It's just, go on.
I'm just telling you, I think it's been that bad. I think that the fact that the pass game has been that bad, normally when this happens, what do you do? In Tennessee, they change quarterbacks.
Right. If this were a young and or sucky quarterback, you'd be talking about changing him.
Absolutely.
Except he's not sucky. He's amazing.
Well, so I understand that. I'm just telling you that. And part of me wonders, and again, I am not advocating for a change. Okay. I just want to say that multiple times. But part of me does wonder, given the ineptitude of the offensive line, and, you know, the disconnect with the receivers. And last week we talked about how, you know, it was both elements that made the Patriots vulnerable. In other words, if the line sucked, but the connection between Brady and the receivers was good, the ball could come out fast. They'd be on the same page. No problem.
To me, that's on the receiver.
You mitigate the pass rush that way. If the opposite is true, the connection with the receivers isn't all that great, but the line's terrific, Brady's got plenty of time, you can make that work. Hell, the touchdown pass to N'Keal Harry on Sunday. That'll be one of those plays. The line gave him time. Brady waited. Harry sprung himself free. The ball came out, touchdown. Great. But the fact that both are a problem, I don't know. In theory, wouldn't it help to have a quarterback who can move around a little bit and maybe
create
some plays?
That's on Myers, without question.
So I'm just telling you, to me, I'm not advocating for it, but under normal circumstances with an offense that has been this frustrating, this is what we'd be talking about. We'd be talking about changing quarterbacks. And I don't think it's wrong, like, to even suggest that it's a, you know, something you could think about. They're not going to do it. I don't expect them to do it. And I wouldn't do it if I were them because I believe in Brady in the big games. But if they were, you know, 8-7, or whatever the hell they're 8-6 instead of 10-4, 11-3, whatever they are.
They wouldn't change a quarterback. What are you talking about?
No, if Brady wasn't Brady and he didn't have the history and it wasn't Tom Brady, we'd be talking about changing the quarterback.
Yes, if he were a young, sucky quarterback, we'd be talking about changing the quarterback. Instead, it's the greatest of all time who's still good.
No, even if he were just an old, sucky quarterback.
Yes, if he were an old, sucky, right, if he were a sucky quarterback, yeah.
You know, if he were just another guy, we'd replace him.
Yes.
So you don't think Brady, I just think Brady's reputation's a huge factor in this thing right now. That's all, because the offense has been that bad.
So you're just saying take out the name and the resume. His play is worthy of benching.
His play is worthy of a change.
His play, not him. Yeah. So now we're going to separate how he's playing from him.
The team's passing attack is worthy of a change.
His play is worthy of benching.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's totally unfair.
Thank you for helping me crystallize that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's totally unfair. I think it's, you know, and as you point out, fantasy land. But I think that's true. You know, Bedard, if you were here, he would tell you that Brady was the problem on Sunday in Cincinnati. And that hasn't always been the case with Bedard, obviously. You know, he blamed the receivers in Houston.
To me, that's on the receiver.
Exactly. He's for the most part this year, he's mostly put it on the receivers.
Without question.
Thank you. But in Cincinnati, he said that was great. In fact, Bedard wrote at the Boston Sports Journal, if he were here, he'd tell you this face-to-face. He says, the biggest takeaway from the Patriots' offensive film, and not what the advanced scout got there in the press box, he's talking about the actual game film that you're legally allowed to watch on the NFL app. The biggest takeaway from the Patriots offensive film against the Bengals is that despite the opponent, the unit made major strides in terms of execution and potential. He said the offense looked much, much better. So, right? Can you believe that? He says, as opposed to the loss to the Texans, though, this time Tom Brady was mostly at fault for the sputtering offense and for the first 2+ quarters. It was about as bad a first half performance as I've seen from Brady. That resulted in the Patriots having a lot of yards and potential points left on the field. You have a thought, Murray?
Yeah, I agree with it. I thought he was horrific in that first half. I don't think that assessment's wrong. I don't need to look at the All-22 to feel that way. I felt that way after that game was over. And I have another developing Brady thing. I don't know if you want to wait for it.
No, go ahead.
Well, so I'm starting to feel like Bill Belichick is needling Brady when it comes to his injury status. Something stood out to me right before we went on the air. I was just flipping through Twitter, and I see Nora Princiotti of the Boston Globe. So Belichick's doing a press conference, apparently, or whatever.
It is a conference call.
A conference call, that's what it was. And says, Belichick says there have been a couple of times this year where Tom Brady, quote, hasn't been able to do much in practice. And that comes off the heels of something that stood out to me on Sunday that was buried in Ben Volen, her colleague at the Globe, his Sunday notes, talking about Brady and his injury status on the injury report. And at the end of it, he wrote, staying healthy and avoiding injuries is the primary tenet of the TB12 business. And Brady doesn't seem thrilled that the Patriots keep telling the world about all of his little dings, the toe and the elbow that have popped up on the injury report in recent weeks. For Belichick, a guy who's notoriously tight-lipped about any and all injuries with any member of the team, pretty loose with Brady here, with putting it on the injury report in this today a few times already that he hasn't practiced. Again, the quote was, hasn't been able to do much in practice a few times this year. That you get from Belichick?
I mean, he doesn't tell you that about anyone.
Anyone.
No.
Even third stringers. You're saying,
do you want the sound of it?
Oh, please.
Yeah, please.
So I'm just curious, we've seen Tom obviously on and off the injury report. I'm wondering how the other quarterbacks that are on the roster have handled practice, if Tom has had to miss any time. How has Jarrett worked in his first year, and Cody, I'm sure, is part of that equation too.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are always ready to go, and it's an opportunity for them. It's hard to practice three quarterbacks, but And there have been a couple examples where Tom hasn't been able to do a lot this year, so that's given Stitt an opportunity to go with the first group and, you know, run our plays and run our offense, and that's been good for him. That's given Cody an opportunity to run more of the scout team plays because Jarrett's not taking those, so it's, you know, and again, quarterbacks are always looking for more work.
That's a long way of saying I can't wait till Tom's gone.
Oh, but, well, I mean, where, and obviously that was, he was at the podium today, not the conference call, obviously there, but where was the snot rocket? Where was the injury report comes out at 4? Everything that you need to know. I mean, where was that? How can we answer that question?
Good question.
I mean, he's not going to answer that usually.
Well, so look, I mean, I can give you the sort of generic, you know, borderline logical answers, which is that he's trying to justify sort of some of the disconnect in the passing game. Brady's missed some opportunity this year. Or he's trying to justify that by saying Tom's been hurt. He wants everybody to know Tom's hurt because he saw what Bedard saw on film.
Why would he ever want anyone to know that his players are hurt? Again, he's always tight-lipped about this kind of thing. So the positive is, go ahead.
He wants to know that everyone to know that Stidham has had some reps and is there if they need him.
It's so the good of this could be he's putting this out there to bust Tom's balls. Maybe he doesn't think he's hurt as, you know, maybe it looks, and he's just trying to goose him a little bit so he can get some better play out of him. That's the positive way of thinking about this. The negative way of thinking about it, and the way I immediately went to, was he can't wait to be rid of this guy. Like, he really, so at this point,
that is two strong takes. Look, I think this is Brady's last year. I think he's retiring. I'm not going to say Bill can't wait to get rid of the guy based on this. I'm not talking about playing Stidham, Maz. But I, you guys came ready to play. Fine. I do think it's just part of this little subtle back and forth is what I would say. This little subtle undercurrent of Brady, Belichick. And they're not at each other's throats. He can't wait to get rid of it. I'm not saying any of that, but there is, and it has been going on for a while. And there, at times it's been a full on palace queue, and at times it's been bad. Bedard, hold on 1 second. Let's finish the segment, okay? Before you come bumbling in here, because that's always distracting too.
Then I was going to use the word bouncing.
Then
in,
the big boy comes like bull in a china shop, set with his big for snarled stuff. Clumps down here as we're trying to finish this. They just settle down. It's just a subtle back and forth with Brady and Belichick, where Brady, for some reason, Belichick is willing to tell you that the guy is hurt and hasn't been at practice every day.
And there have been a couple examples where Tom hasn't been able to do a lot this year, so that's given.
I mean, for most teams, that's nothing, but for this team, that is revealing because Bill never says anything like that.
Maybe he's trying to goose him. Again, this goes back to the Volan thing on Sunday. You know, again, Brady doesn't seem too pleased that the Patriots are putting out some of his injury stuff. Maybe this is Bill saying, Tom, here we go. It's late December. You know, you've been pissed at the receiving corps all year long. And now this particular comment comes after a game in which he missed some throws. I mean, you know, the one to Michelle at the goal line was horrendous, for crying out loud. That's an easy throw. And there's nothing about arm strength there either. That's a little flip, for crying out loud. I could have made that one and gotten it there. It's got nothing to do with arm strength or health of elbow. That's just a lazy, sloppy throw. So maybe this is Bill saying, come on, Tom, get your head out of your ass. Let's go.
Okay, Greg Bedard, who will join us next segment, says that was as bad as a half as I've seen Brady play. That's his. He said the offense actually looked better, and it was promising, but Brady held them back. So we'll get his thoughts on that. I do have a developing Spygate 2 opinion that we'll get to later on in the program. We'll take, and Bedard has some interesting thoughts on that as well. We played you his postgame stint on the on our postgame show on Sunday, so he'll come in and give it to us in real time. Yes, Maz?
Spygate Roman numeral 2.
Right, yeah. Spygate 2.
Yeah. No, no, you said 2. I just want to make sure.
Not T-O-O?
No. Like, not the digit.
Got it.
No, we're doing them like Super Bowls.
Exactly.
We're giving them little Roman numerals.
When it comes to the Patriots, you know, running afoul of the rules, you got to number them because we're now into multiples. We'll get to that. And
Super Bowl 3, I'm sorry. Spygate 3 will be in San Diego.
Okay. And your calls. Big boy next. Maz, let's sell some steak, shall we?
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
First and goal to go as Landon Roberts reports eligible and fullback for the Patriots. And now Michelle moves up to Brady, talks into his right ear. And Tom will send Lacoste in motion from the right. He lines up on the wing. From the offset eye, Lacoste now motions left. Brady pulls away, starts to roll right, throws it to Michelle, can't hold on. It was a low pass, trying to reach down below his knees, and then lunge to the goal line. Could not make the catch.
It's on the quarterback. Again, rolling the guy out. He throws the ball low around the knees. It's a drop. I'm going to say it's a drop. But if he sticks this ball in a 2 and a 6, running backs and tight ends, they've always taught us, those balls have to be thrown out in front to allow those guys to catch it. They're not nimble enough like receivers.
So there was Brady's miss throw to Sony Michel on the goal line. I don't know. Just tried to pick out a Brady low light. There were quite a few to choose from. Overthrows, missed receivers, missed routes with Edelman. That one stands out, though. An easy 6 points to Michelle that he drills at his back knee. So joining us now in our Town Fair Tire Studios is Greg Bedard. He's brought to you by Jarvis Ford. As John and Michael Jarvis like to say, honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business. It's who we are. Jarvis Ford, just off Route 2 in Ayer. Big boy.
What's up?
Your thoughts on Brady?
He wasn't good in this game. I mean, I thought he played well in the second half. So that was promising. So it's not, you know, hey, he's 42. He's feeling his elbow. It's not going to get any better. This is the way it's going to be. There were flashes. I mean, look, the pass to Harry, he drilled in there. But largely in the first half, he was all over the place with the ball. And some of it was he was a little flinchy with the pressure. And the Bengals did get a decent amount of pressure. Most of it came from Marcus Cannon and Matt Lacoste. There was about 35% pressure in this game, which for a pocket quarterback is a decent amount. I mean, it's not anything over 40 is a danger area. 35 is in the yellow. And so he was a little flinchy at times. I would say most of it, he just missed some throws. And to me, that tells me it's got to be the elbow. And hopefully it's something that can get better, because there was enough progress, I thought. There was definite improvement in this offense in this game. From Isaiah Wynn played much better. Sony Michel ran the ball much better. Shaq Mason had an outstanding game. And McDaniels was doing a really good job of pulling Mason. This is the first time I've really seen Mason on the move all year. So that tells me that earlier he was dealing with something. Maybe now he's feeling better. He was pulled a lot. Tooney was pulled a lot. Harry was better. Sanu was better. For some reason, Brady with the elbow, and Brady and Sanu in their timing, it's just not synced up yet. But there, it looked a lot better. And I think the Patriots would have scored points. They left a lot of yards and points on the field on Sunday. And it was, in my mind, it was mostly because of Brady in this game.
So you're encouraged.
Yes. I was surprised. Trust me, I was surprised too. But I was borderline a little bit excited after the game, after watching the offense.
I'm not going that far. I mean, to me, there was a tick in the right direction. There's no question about it. It's hard to tell because it was Cincinnati.
Exactly. I was going to bring that up.
But I think the big thing was Harry. I just think that they added an element that hasn't been there. And it's a small thing, but it gives them another guy. And, you know, even on runs, whatever, simple plays, just something else they can do. Like, I'm all for it. But it was a small step in the right direction. I need to see it this week, though, Greg. I need to see it against a real defense.
Absolutely. And I don't even think it was, you know, you termed Harry as something else. Like, I term it as an honest-to-God real playmaker. Somebody that can make plays down the field, on reverses. They don't have anybody else that can do that. And let alone Edelman now is dragging around his left leg. I mean, they are really hurting. And Harry, he gets the ball in his hands, and you see it on film, and you're just like, wow, that kid's got something there.
So you're encouraged because you think Brady's issue is temporary.
I hope.
I mean, if the elbow is bad, the elbow is bad. I mean, is it possible that this is just what we're going to get out of him the rest of the way?
Sure. I don't rule that out at all. But, you know, just knowing Brady from the past, I think this is something that's temporary that hopefully – all of a sudden, it snaps in this week against a good defense, and the offense actually holds its own.
Okay. I have a question for you defensively. Is the run defense an overall issue? Because it's not the first time they've been run on.
Yes. Especially early in game. See, what we've seen is teams run on them early, then the Patriots make adjustments, and they're fine the rest of the game. But these slow starts with the run defense have to be concerning, and I think part of it is they have so many moving pieces, whether it's outside linebacker or inside linebacker. I don't think they've quite figured out what their best grouping is. And I don't think there's a lot of consistency. And I think that lack of consistency in terms of groupings of players is affecting them. I'm hopeful, and maybe we see it this week against Buffalo, I'm hopeful that they settle on a group where they're like, okay, this is our group to start the game that's going to be good against the run. Because, I mean, they do have good pieces. I mean, Guy, Shelton, Hightower.
The linebackers, exactly.
Van Noy. I mean, there are good, you know, but you get inconsistent play from Jamie Collins. You know, all of a sudden you put Dietrich Wise out there and he's getting driven down the field by 5 yards by, you know, Cordy Glenn. And it just, it doesn't look right. But that they correct it and they're better for the bulk of games gives me a little bit of confidence, but there's no question they're starting out terribly.
The only linebacker in the run game I trust is Hightower.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Like the other guys are, you know, they have their moments, but they're lighter, faster linebackers.
Okay. So let's take some of your thoughts for Bedard as promised. Steven in Fitchburg, what do you think about Brady?
I think Maz is not off base. Last two games, at halftime, I would have sat him and brought the kid in.
Hey, so Maz, just to be clear, is not saying they should bench Brady. But what his point is, Greg, if I can illustrate it for you, Maz, is that if this were another Brady's play the last couple weeks has been bench-worthy, meaning if this were Joe Blow quarterback, this were just Joe Blow instead of if this were Tom Blow instead of Tom Brady, we'd be talking about a quarterback change because that's how bad the play has been. That was Maz's take.
Okay. Well, I mean, before this week, I would have argued against that. Because, you know, you guys know the way I feel. I did not put Houston on Brady.
Right.
If you thought he was having a pity party and that was part of the issue, then fine. Bench him. But as far as his actual play against Houston, I didn't think that was it. I didn't think it was it against Kansas City either. This week I did. And if it continues, if there are times and maybe they say with this elbow, whatever it is, tendonitis, maybe he has a loose body, I don't know. But if all of a sudden Brady's on a pitch count now, because he was better in the second half when they were running the ball a lot and, you know, being selective with their throws.
So, look, I don't want to hear tendonitis, by the way, for a guy that's got all the answers.
Greg just used the term loose body.
Okay, and so, like, when you just said those things, I don't want a wear and tear injury because he's selling me the fact that he's avoided these wear and tear injuries. If he got banged on the elbow, that's one thing. Okay, that ain't TB12, but I've been sold this whole thing about the deep tissue massages and the, you know, prehab and all this crap. Don't tell me he's got a wear and tear injury. I don't accept that. I refuse to accept that.
Yeah, no. I focused on loose body when he said that because I wonder if he knows something.
I don't.
When a guy gets hit on the
it's
elbow.
It's a complete guess.
Okay, so a loose body is more of an impact injury. The tendonitis is wear and tear.
Yeah, absolutely. So I immediately wondered after he got hit on the elbow and he's thrown the way he's thrown. What's he got, a bone chip in there?
Right.
Like, is that what's going on?
That's my mind. Let me be clear. I don't have any information, but that's my fear is that, you know, something along those lines. But I don't know.
Mike, I'm sorry. Just to be clear, my point is this. When the offense struggles
and your passer rating is 75 and you complete 50% of your passes, typically what teams do is look at the quarterback. That's what they do.
John in Arlington with a thought. Go ahead, John.
Hi, I'm interested more in what three previous GOATs have done. They've changed teams. I'm talking about Manning, Favre, and Montana, okay? Now, when their career started to peter out, as everybody's does, Brady's is, and whether you want to believe it or not, I'm tired of hearing the gushing about Brady. His career was fizzling out. He was 15 for 29 on Sunday. What happened to garbage time for Stidham at 5 minutes left in the game with the game in hand?
So let me stop you there. It's a fair second guess. Like we've talked about it for years. You know, why can't you get the backup in there with 5 minutes left, up 27 points, to get some snaps and get his feet wet and just use that little bit for whatever it's worth, just as a little bit of a development opportunity? Especially when Brady's got something in his elbow or something. And, like, I agree with that. I think they could have done, but they don't. They don't do it. Instead, they had Brady throwing. Instead, they had Brady throwing because they would have loved to shove it down the throat of Zach Taylor and the Bengals for all this taping stuff. And so they would love to put a 50-burger on him. They're just not capable of it anymore. That's why I think he was throwing. People said, you disagree.
I disagree. I think that what you're looking at, we're talking about an offense that hasn't even been functional in the past game. They are practicing.
They have an
out. They need as many reps as possible.
They have an out to say we're not getting on track, so we're going to use this time to get on track. I think they wanted to shove it down his throat. Because that's typically what they do in these games. With the AFC title game against Indy, when they called him on the ball deflation thing, they were throwing bombs with 3 minutes left up 30 points. It's what they do. It's what they do. It's how they respond to these things. Scorched earth. They're just not capable of it this year offensively anyway. We continue with your calls. We still got to get to Bedard's thought on Spygate 2. That's Roman numeral 2, not T-O-O, as Maz pointed out before. But three up, three down coming up right after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, we've gone over the game film. We've compiled the charts, meaning Greg has. Maz will also watch the game from his couch, so he's going to chime in as well. Who stood out? Who sucked in this game? Three up, three down. The number one star, Bedard, is?
Gilmore. Duh.
Yeah, Gilmore. That was easy. Stephon Gilmore, best player on the field. I wanted to pick Andy Dalton for helping the Patriots win the game, but I had to go with someone that actually wore the uniform.
Okay, second star then.
J.C. Jackson. Had a really good game. I just want to say, I don't want to hear these stats that they're putting out there about his completion percentage all year, and he hasn't given up this and that. He's had about five like huge play touchdowns like dropped by the other team this year. He was good in this game. Don't make it any more than that.
Okay, so were we making more of Jonathan Jones before this? Because it feels like he's
I think he's hurt.
Down on him.
I mean, he went out of this last game with a groin injury, and that would explain especially the touchdown that he gave up, why he looks so bad, because he's been great. He plays a much tougher position than Gilmore or...
Oh, you think it's tougher in the slot?
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, I agree.
A two-way go.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's no boundary. I mean, if you're playing a boundary corner, you know, all right, I have the sideline. I have an extra defender. It's almost like you're doubling a guy.
So why don't they put the best guys inside? I mean, and they're not developed that way. Like the number one corner is your outside left corner, typically, because offenses are right-handed, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the spot, the left corner. Deion Sanders, Daryl Revis, Ty Law, like that's where they play. And starting, you know, probably late in high school. Why not put that guy inside?
Because normally those inside receivers, normally you have bigger athletic receivers on the outside. On the inside, you have smaller, quicker receivers, and quickness is more of a priority inside than, say, physical play or, you know, leaping or jumping ability. It's more important to have really quick feet and be able to change direction and have fluid hips than it is, you know, to out-muscle a guy.
Understand. In my expert opinion,
yes, ma'am.
More damage done on the outside. On the inside, you get a million bodies there to tackle him after he catches it. That's anyway, good. Just my two cents.
Second star, Maz.
J.C. Jackson. Also J.C. Jackson. And just quickly, as an aside, our buddy Tucker put out something earlier today that J.C. Jackson, since the start of last year, has allowed one touchdown, made eight interceptions, and allowed a 32.4 passer rating.
Yeah, how many times have they dropped passes on him? Tucker. Okay.
And my answer was, how about how many penalties?
That guy gets more penalties.
And the answer someone tweeted, and I don't know if it's right, was 14.
Wow.
Okay.
Is that 14 this year?
No. Since the beginning of last year.
Okay.
But that's a crap ton.
That is still a lot. That is a crap ton.
All right, he was my number two. He was also good.
Third star, Greg.
Shaq Mason. I had him for plus 13 run blocks.
Oh, which is God. That is
astounding.
Absolute schlongworthy right there. Yep. That is, the schlong was out.
Welcome back, Shaq.
I can't believe that we didn't get Joe Tooney. That's what I'm surprised.
13-plus run blocks. Wow.
I went N'Keal Harry.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I went N'Keal Harry.
Shut up, Felger.
N'Keal Harry, third. I thought it was a nice step in the right direction.
You didn't log the 13-plus run blocks? All right, three down. Greg, who's your number one dud?
Marcus Cannon. Sack allowed, 3.5 total quarterback pressures, 2 run stuffs.
How many negative run blocks? Well, 2 run stuffs. That's,
yeah, there were a few more thrown in there. His feet look slow. He's getting overpowered at times. You know, it's hasn't been good of late.
This is really a wonderful exercise this week. I also had Marcus Cannon. And just because you said this a few minutes ago, Matt Lacoste was on that side too. Boy, does he suck as a blocker.
He had a lot of negative plays in this game, but he also had some really good plays. They almost balanced each other out. And plus, you know, they had him blocking Carlos Dunlap. I mean, that's hard for some tackles, let alone some average run-blocking tight ends.
Between Izzo and Lacoste, it's like watching a bullfighting competition.
Well, Watson's worse.
Second dud.
Tom Brady. Yeah, I mean, first half, he was not good enough. He cost the team yards and points, and they expect him to be better.
I went with a combination of Brady, Edelman, Sanu, okay? All three of them, 4 for 13 on targets, the three of them. I don't know who is to blame or what, but they look like they escaped from assisted living.
Third Doug Craig.
Jonathan Jones. I mean, I think he's hurt, but I don't know that, so I'm not giving him an injury pass like I did Edelman.
Dietrich Wise. Is there a week that goes by where this guy doesn't get a penalty?
I can't believe they're still playing him.
Seriously.
I mean, after some of the penalties he's taken the last couple of weeks with the hands of the face, what was it? Was it
he had a roughing the passer that was ridiculous.
Roughing the passer that was not a ridiculously bad call, a ridiculously stupid hit.
Yes,
I was like, he took 2 steps at the guy. Like, they would have called that in 1979.
He gets 15 every week.
It's unbelievable.
He gains more yards than Jacoby Myers, for crying out loud.
And every week I say, that's it. That's the last we're going to see of Dietrich Wise. And he's still out there.
Unbelievable. Really, unbelievable. He sucks. Jesus, is he having a bad year. I've seen guys have bad years. He's taking the cake in terms of bad years. Like, you're talking about guys say, wow, he's had a crap season. That guy takes the cake. Wow.
Okay, so overall, Greg, just to reset, you were actually encouraged by the offense.
I was.
Was the offense and the offensive line was better?
It was much better in this game. Wynn was much better. Tooney was his usual self. Karras was a humongous upgrade over James Ferentz. He had a really good game. Mason had a really good game. Cannon did not. But, you know, Lacoste did some things. When you pull those guards, Tooney and Mason, the tight end's got to be able to block. And, you know, Lacoste batted about 500 in this game, but that was good enough.
But Ben Watson's batting average is worse on that stuff?
He's worse.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You haven't seen him out there very much.
No, it's true.
You?
It's
and
true.
I am worried Lacoste was limping again pretty badly in the second half. So, again, I'm worried about him.
I mean, I feel like Lacoste is a half decent receiver, too. I mean,
he is. I'd like to see a few more seams. They've hit it the past 2 weeks once. How about a couple more times?
Okay, thus concludes three up, three down. Your reaction to that, your reaction to Brady and how he's played the last couple of weeks. We do have to get to Greg and his thoughts on the taping thing in Cincinnati, what people are saying around the league, why people around the league did not like the looks of that video that was shown on Sunday. All that coming your way right after this. Oh, and I have a giveaway. Sorry, buried the lead. Something free for you, which I know that you like. That's all after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
They've denied it, and Bill said that he has nothing to do with Kraft Productions. And I know Kraft Productions, and they're a separate part of the building, but however, Kraft Production is under the umbrella, which is the New England Patriots, so it looks bad. With everything good that's going on with the organization this year in terms of the celebration of the NFL 100, talking about Bill Belichick as one of the best coaches of all time, him and Saban this week talking about their philosophies, yes, and why they're such great coaches, and then you get this. And all it does is open up that wound and open up that scab so everybody can just say they're cheaters. Once again, what were we thinking? I'm a member of the New England Patriots for my entire career, and I'm thinking, what were you thinking that this was a good idea to, yes, bring in a camera crew? Still, you want to do your job series? I've seen it with the video personnel, with Jim Whelan and the training staff. They're good little pieces, yes. But this one, this was the wrong idea to do it. They weren't thinking what it would perceive, how the optics were. And I don't blame the league, and I don't blame anyone out there that reopens all of this stuff and give you an easy opportunity to call the New England Patriots cheaters because of all their success, because the way it looks is terrible. And I don't like the way it looks, and I'm disappointed that someone didn't have the awareness in that organization not to go through and say, wait a second, maybe we shouldn't do this because it doesn't look good.
Teddy Bruschi with his analysis of the tape that was released on Sunday by Jay Glazer on Fox. Came down pretty hard on the Patriots. He did not like the looks of that tape. Neither did Greg Bedard. And I was interested in your spot on our post-game show on Sunday, Greg.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I did. I listened with great attention, because the part that got me is that you checked with people across the league, or people that you talked to, and I don't know if that means scouts, executives. Can we...
It's a mix.
Okay, mix of scouts, executives.
They're just looking for people in the game, and I wanted their opinion. And it's not people who hate us because they ain't us or anything. I mean, these are people that I go back a ways with. They shoot me straight. They're not out to get the Patriots. These are people I don't look for hacky people. Like, I go to people who are gonna just be down the middle and give me an honest opinion.
And what was their view of that tape?
It was bad. It was about and again. And I said this the other night. This is just based on the snippet. I don't know what the rest of the tape shows. Maybe the whole rest of the tape is a wide angle of the stadium. Then it's fine. Maybe it's also the Browns sideline. I don't know. But in terms of if the snippet is representative of the rest of the video, it's a problem.
Why?
The other teams that because that's exactly what you're not supposed to do. Like, it's trained on the portion of the Bengals sideline where substitutions are being made. I don't care anything about signals. I don't care anything about that. how teams substitute their sub packages and things like that and what's going on their sidelines that you can't see otherwise, how they treat players' injuries, how they're it's all information. And the whole league, and it's not just the Patriots, the whole league is obsessed with information. It doesn't mean that there's a, you know, it's going to be useful right then and there, but they just want as much information as possible. They want to know how players are waking up, how they feel in the morning. Are they under the weather? They want to know everything because it could be useful at some point in time.
Well, no, I mean, the substitution to me is, and I've arrived at the advanced scout. That's all he looks at. Because everything else between the lines, they have reams and reams of game film.
Oh, correct, yeah.
And so he's not going to sit and tell you there that watch the left tackle's left knee. He likes to set, you know, this way when they're passing the screen. I mean, that's all on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that the scout is there for, really, I think, is sort of sideline mechanics and
no
how
question.
That relates to on the field. I mean, there's really nothing else to scout. There's no more hand signals. I mean, like you're saying, it's mostly helmet communication. I guess there's still some hand signals in terms of...
I mean, they signal for packages, but in a game, you know after the first series, okay, when the Patriots are doing, you know, putting both fists up, that means they're bringing in two linebackers and three safeties, or, you know, so that kind of stuff.
So, I mean, I think that's the only thing to scout.
Yeah, look, again, and you know what? It makes sense, though. But there is a lot to scout there, right? I mean, that's, you know, I always did master control. That's the center of the operation. How are they making their substitutions? Are they efficient at it? Which guys did they get? The whole thing.
Okay, so more of the reaction from what you talked to. Like, I mean, what are the, can you give me more?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of the reaction was, I can understand why the Bengals are ticked off. I mean, if that was my team, and that the opponent for the next week was in the press box filming just our coaches, yeah, I'd be ripped. And that would explain, you know, why the Bengals haven't just been like, oh, you know what? We heard from Robert Kraft. We heard from Bill Belichick. It was an honest mistake. You know, it's water under the bridge. It's all good. We haven't heard a peep out of the Bengals. Why do you think that is?
People around here don't get it. Teams don't like to be taped. They don't like you coming in and taping them. Don't you get it? They don't want to be taped. They don't want you coming in and taping their sidelines. Why is that so hard to understand? Oh, you mean they don't want us to waltz into their stadium and tape their coaches when it's against the rules? Ah, the losers. They hate us because they ain't us. Like, don't you get it? Teams don't want to be taped by you.
Wasn't there, in fact, it is, it's a football culture thing. But like, and I'm not saying that they're wrong to feel that way. Like, most people's a huge disconnect. Wasn't there a team that accused the Patriots of like flying a drone over the practice? Remember that?
Yeah, I can't remember. Maybe it was a Carolina for the Super Bowl?
It was one of those.
It's something.
Like something relative. Oh, wasn't that long ago.
Million accusations.
But they do the first inkling that there's the Patriots and a camera involved. They flip out.
So my developing opinion is that I already think you've received a tremendous break in that people are willing to give you the benefit of the doubt. Or the league apparently is going to try and judge your intent. So, again, so Jay Glazer, you know, he broke that tape. He does a mailbag on The Athletic. His first question in his mailbag posted today, he said, what do you expect will be the result of the investigation? He said, there will be a punishment. The Patriots have admitted to not following proper game day operation rules with regard to filming. But this investigation will revolve around intent and who is connected to the incident. And I think that is, if that's really true, boy, what a break. They're willing to even consider intent? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like,
given their history, you mean.
Given their history.
Yeah, they lost the benefit of the doubt because in the court of public opinion, they're already guilty.
Dial this back. Forget this never happened. If I said to you the following was going to happen, that the week before they played an opponent, they sent a camera crew to the press box of this opponent, shot their sidelines, got caught red-handed, and when they were caught, said we work for Kraft Sports Production and didn't know the rule. If I told you that that's what happened, because that's what happened, fact, it's not in dispute. The Patriots sent a film crew to a press box, shot their opponent's sideline, when stopped, said they worked for Kraft Sports Productions and they didn't know the rule. Fact, that's what happened. If I told you that was going to happen last year or at any time before this, what would you say to me?
Guilty.
Oh, they're porked. Would you say, oh yeah, they'll do a whole investigation to see if they really meant to do it or not? Do the Patriots deserve that?
No.
In other words, I'm surprised the league hasn't just said, we don't care what your intent is. We're not going to waste our time and money trying to figure out intent or trying to link this to football or anything other than this. You sent a film crew to another press box. You shot your upcoming opponent's bench. You only stopped because you were stopped by someone from the league. And when you were stopped by someone from the league, you said you worked for Kraft Sports Productions and you didn't know the rule.
No, it'd be the opposite. You'd have to prove you didn't do it.
Guilty! Done! Get out of my face! Get out of my office! Guilty! Out! I mean, the fact the league is not doing that is a tremendous break for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at some point in time, well, like, you know, you say, like, what do you have? Like a take,
take annulment?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like the period. A period of time. How long are they going to pay for Spygate?
Take grace period.
Statute of limitations. There you go.
Statute of limitations.
I mean, how long are they going to pay for that?
Forever.
I mean, they paid a lot for it.
Well, so
they pay a lot in reputation.
It was
and then,
also Deflategate in the middle of it. It's like if the Houston Astros, I keep using this because it's the example. If the Houston Astros came in here and someone caught them filming the center, you know, from the center field, taping the catcher's signals, and they stopped the film crew out there from Houston. They said, oh, no, we just work for the .com part of the building. This has nothing to do with baseball. We didn't know the rules. We didn't know we couldn't shoot. We'll delete it right here if you want us to delete it.
No one would believe
it. Would anyone give them half a second of the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, but that's all been in a very finite time period. It's all been like what, the last 5 years?
Yeah,
you know, it's a little bit different. I mean, I just view Spygate and Deflategate differently. You know, they're two different things. I understand why you're grouping them together. I can understand why you think the NFL should
pattern is sneaking around doing stuff.
Yeah, right? But also, if this is the first time they've requested a press pass, I don't know. I just think there are mitigating circumstances this time, and they do need to look in it more. And I think, you know, Mondello, whoever, needs his email. He needs to turn over his email. He needs to turn over his phone. He's going to have to. He's going to have to get questioned by NFL security.
No question.
All that stuff.
That, unless they grabbed it right there in that press box, that cell phone is swimming with the fishes wherever Brady's is.
Yeah, probably.
We are soon to get the Tom Brady. Whoops! I destroy my cell phones after I'm done using them. But hold on, Tom, you have the one before, and you have your I destroyed that one. That one's gone. I lost it. Whoops! That thing is swimming with the fishes with Brady's cell phone. There's no way, unless they grabbed it there in the press box at the time. I'm just saying the league could.
Sure, of course they could.
It would surprise no one if the league said, "We're not going to waste any time judging intent." This is the fact. You sent a film crew and taped the opponent's sidelines.
Yeah, but what if they just made an honest
mistake?
We're
going to hammer you. I mean, I'm just telling you.
It's a colossally stupid mistake that I cannot believe happened. I mean, I don't know who dropped the ball over there at Kraft Sports Productions, and I got a lot of respect for those guys. And everybody has a bad day. Everybody makes mistakes. But when the Patriots send someone into the press box of the next opponent, and that person, that producer, does not go with orders like, you got to know, remember, everybody hates us around the league. You're going to be in there. They're going to be like, what the hell are the Patriots doing here? Do not film the field. Do not do X, Y, and Z. Do not do it. How that didn't happen, if it didn't happen, it's mind-blowing to me. And then the other thing is, the guy who's interviewed, you know, I just put myself in his shoes. Say it was an honest mistake. Okay, say nobody told you, I completely effed up. Oh, man. How is that guy almost like not near tears or like, holy, yeah, I'm going to get fired. This is my, I completely screwed up. I'm really sorry. I'm going to get fired. Is there anything else we could do? This is all my fault. Like, I didn't hear that. I heard a guy who's.
To me, it sounded like he knew he screwed up.
Yeah.
Real quickly, which means he knew the rule. But either way, it would surprise no one if the league said, we're not going to bother with intent. You did it. It's right here. You did it. And intent or no intent, after all we've been through with you, we're not going to waste any time trying to judge intent. You did it.
I mean, look, you know how I feel. Their reputation is their reputation, Greg. And you say, what's the statute of limitations? And my answer is, on something like that, forever.
Okay, so we're way over. Here's a quick update. Murray, 90 seconds, no commercials. I forgot to do the giveaway. Stu has already taken me out back and beat me about the face with a moist sausage, so I'm going to give, I promise, the giveaway in the next segment. There's no commercials here, just a quick update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.